All right, would you stand and worship with us?
into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Not like you. Our God is greater. Our God is strong.
With faith and love, and we are pilgrims.
We are the children of God. We are the children of God.
I just have to pause for a moment and look in your faces, those of you that are so familiar to us, who have just endeared your lives to us to be a blessing over the years that we became associated with Warren Community Fellowship. It goes back, actually, it was your pastor here a number of years ago, Jim Kennington, who was working on his doctorate degree in Denver. He'd come and visit us, and he said, how do we get you out here? Our son, John, of course, those of you that knew him, he was the youth pastor here for 7 years, and so when we had opportunities to visit here and then to move out here and be part of this fellowship, I just can't say enough of how you've been a blessing to us and to be able to serve with you. And I just want to say for those of you that I don't know, and Burl, this is my wife, Burl, if you just stand for a minute, please. So we are still supported as missionaries with Cadence International from Warren Community Fellowship. But those of you that are new here, new Christ followers, we cannot say enough on how joyful it is that you have chosen to be here. It's a place that you are cared for. You have great teaching. And close to our heart has always been the heart of missions. The message this morning, if you've seen already in the note there, it's the missionary's confidence. And thank you for the worship team for the choice of songs. We sang that first song, Come to My Rescue. I thought you had already dipped into my message notes there, because we're talking about God's rescue and a place that we can go for a refuge. So in being here, I just want to say it means so much to come back to Warren Community Fellowship, and it's a great joy to serve, and especially at this time, as we know, a team is out there with Marcel, who is so dear to us. And then next week, I'm going to mention a few minutes here about Ernesto. Just briefly about Cadence International, we still serve in different capacities. We've had the opportunity to represent Cadence at Corbin University. And then each year, and after many years, Cadence has been invited to participate at the annual Missions Connection. And I'll just put a plug in there for you. If you want to just, you know, get a greater idea of what God is doing around the world, the weekend of January 19th and 20th, I think that's probably President's Weekend, but that will be at Rolling Hills Community Church. That's down in the area where we live, near West Lynn. And I think their message title this year is called Let There Be Hope. And I encourage you to be a part of that. And then the opportunity to serve with the people that we mentored over the last 4 years before we stepped into, well, we're not really retired, but we are slowing down a little bit, but people don't believe that. Our kids don't believe that. It's hard to, in view of the message today, you'll see that there's no room for any of us slowing down, young or old. And part of our idea is, how do we pass the baton on to the next generation? How do we do that successfully? And we're going to be talking this morning, but it was a great joy over the last 4 years in our ministries with Cadence International to serve as part of the training team, to be mentors for over 30 families and single workers, both men and women, who are in their different fields of service for Cadence, whether it's in Asia, here in the United States, or in Europe. That whole group of folks came with just a passion and an urgency to communicate the gospel effectively, and just to see the fruit that is coming out of those ministries is absolutely thrilling. Those of you that are kind of fearful about, you know, the Gen X people and more of the millennials, they're a great group of people. We just love them. And I hope that through what we share today, we'll just, you know, further inspire you in reaching out to the next generation. I don't have time to share. I can't. There's some things that are just kind of classified or confidential. But our director of foreign military ministries, which is primarily in Southeast Asia, is centered in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And the director there a number of years ago had contact with people in Burma. I mean, they had to come across the border and kind of cover their tracks where they would enter from Thailand into Burma to have these contacts. And they work with a group, though, that's called Free Burma Rangers. And our missionary has actually just almost hours after the ISIS group began to be moved out of Mosul, their team were right there. And I think our director there, Paul Bradley, has had at least two or three opportunities to be right up there in northern Iraq, serving along these Christian people out of Myanmar, out of Burma. Fascinating story. Well, just recently, we came back. Well, when we moved from here down to West Lynn, it was at the invitation of our original home church, our sending church, that commissioned us to go into missions. And they asked us to come alongside to mentor people, to help develop their short-term missions team. And so we have just a little slide presentation here that I'd like you to see of our missions trip that we just had down to Northern California. This was just 3 weeks ago, and this was our welcome to Hearthstone Bible Camp. We're ministering to the children of military people at Travis Air Force Base. You can see that this is really a diverse group of young people. What a joy, and you'll see Burl here and her joy with taking care of these little kids. These kids just endure you. And this little gal with her bucket of sand playing there. In case I didn't say, Burl's already enjoying this little guy here. She's just trying to get little Caden to trust that, you know, Annie Burl is going to pick her up. This is our little explorer. He's actually the grandson of our directors, Sandy and Sue Knopsaker. This is Louise. This was her second trip. And this little boy just needed a lot of affection and caring. Louise just dedicated herself to caring for him. 2 years ago, you'll see Burl there, and Louise is on the right, and Cindy is on the left. This was our team. My grandson, Landon Stroh, is up there on the far right. He was one of our puppeteers last year. You never know what's going to happen on a short-term missions trip, but this is Cindy. She was in our youth group years and years ago, and God has just, you know, used these times to call her into short-term missions, and she has completed two assignments for Cadence International as a hospitality assistant, and this was her 2 years ago as we were working on her first newsletter as she got ready to go out to our retreat center in Fort Jackson. And when you go out of the mission field, you never know what you're going to be called upon. I'm not really getting ready to throw water on my friend Lee. He's flipping. I was called upon to be Moses and explain what happened at the burning bush. Our primary role, though, was to provide a puppet program. I'm sorry I don't have sound behind this, but these are some of the puppets. Our granddaughter was actually operating the puppet on the back left, and I think I was doing one of those. And this is Bible Betty. That's what everybody knows her as, Bible Betty. She is the key person. And this is Joy. I wish I could tell you the story about her, how God brought her, but this is our granddaughter, John Metco's oldest daughter, Kendra, who's 15. And then the teacher used the craft time to put together this kind of tapestry there of things that the kids did. And then, as always, they said they'd miss our faces, and we miss their faces too. And perhaps we'll have another opportunity next year to do another trip. As we begin to make a transition into the message, I wanted to bring up, well, you can bring that slide up. Is it up there? Yeah. You know, in the course of life, we don't know what trials, tribulations, I mean, Jesus said that we would have those, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. And because Ernesto was supposed to be here next week. Many of you knew that. And then last week, the church and I received a letter also from Ernesto that he would not be there. Those of you that don't know Ernesto, you'll miss out on a great blessing by him not being here. He just rivets your attention, but it's partly because of his passion for people, his passion for the souls of his people in Mexico. As he wrote the letter, he just said he was just so burdened by the fact that, well, now it's over 300 people that died in the earthquake there in Mexico City, close to where he lives. And then he just shared, you know, he's got a very grave, well, I won't say grave, but a very severe illness, which meant that he could not come. But then this is what he said. "So it's with a very heavy heart that I have to tell you that I have to cancel my visit to you. I cannot travel. And my heart was set in being with you once again, for will I be alive in the near future? Canceling my tickets will mean a heavy loss, for they had been bought with much anticipation. But that's the least of my concerns. My real loss is not being with you all." And knowing Ernesto, that is so very true. That is Ernesto. And he said, "My beloved," I don't think Leon Beck here in here right now, but you know, he's "my beloved Franzlings, that's what he calls them. I will miss you greatly in the church. I love you." I wanted to share that with you. And then also, I only bring this up also, some of you may be familiar with Andrew Brunson. He is a pastor who has served in Turkey for 22 years out in Izmir, out in the western part of Turkey. And it was a year ago, this next week, that he and his wife were to be deported from Turkey, but then the police took him in for questioning, and they've held him, and then finally put him into a Turkish prison. He's been there since December. And, you know, we know these things happen. We know that God is sovereign, that, you know, perhaps God is just using his testimony. He's fluent with the language to those that are imprisoned with him. His wife was actually a dorm mate with our daughter Laura Stroh at Black Forest Academy back in the early 80s. And so there's just a multitude of people praying for him. And I'd like to just take a moment to pray for both Ernesto and Andrew. I think it's timely. This is normally the week that we'd had a missions conference here. It's been going on for almost 10 years. You have the emphasis with your team in Romania right now. And then with next week. So the focus of these 2 weeks is really on what God is doing in and around the world. So let me pray. Father, just before we look into your word, we bring to you our brother Ernesto, the journey for him. He's been a soldier of Christ. He has been a pastor of pastors, loving upon people, a passion to preach the gospel. And this very joy is being greatly limited right now. Father, we pray for those who have responsible medical care for him, that whatever that illness might be, that it can be treated. This is a day that you said your compassions would be demonstrated, so may he experience your very presence in his room where he is. And for those who serve in his church, may they do it with the power of your Holy Spirit behind them. Father, I pray for Andrew Brunson. I pray for him as he has been in the upstairs of this top floor of a Turkish prison. No air conditioning. His health is not the best. It's deteriorating. Father, we have been obedient to pray for those in authority. We thank you that our president, our vice president, our secretary of state have all had contacts personally with the president of Turkey, and yet there are false charges brought against Andrew. Father, allow him the privilege of sharing Christ in this very difficult situation in his life. And now, Father, just allow us to be captured by your word, by a man or woman who whose name is not known, and that through this we will be strengthened, that we will stand, that we will be able to finish the race with confidence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I thought about this message and thinking about you and thinking about who are the people that stand out in your mind, in your lives, you know, whether you're young or old, you know, who are the people who have had an influence on your life in the sense that they are people who seem to have a joy about them, that they seem to have an air of confidence, that they are people of that seem to be trusting God all the time. You know, it could have been a teacher, it could be a peer. I even had an employer that was really helpful to me to help me know that I should be going into the ministry up at Boeing Aircraft. You just never know who God is going to use in your lives. Maybe a parent, maybe a Sunday school teacher. Don't know who it might be. I don't know if Chris Fireball is in here right now, but I just wanted to know that her husband, Bob, even though I was like about almost 60 years old at that time, but Bob was just used to further encourage me in the study of the Word and to be trust him as I would have not a lot of opportunities to preach God's Word in a setting like this, but each time I do prepare a study, I just know that Bob was there to prod me along, to encourage me along, and we need people like that in our lives, don't we? As I think about the scriptures, immediately, I always think about Caleb. I love the story of Caleb, and he was an intergenerational type man. I mean, he was, if you follow a little bit of his family tree, it seemed like at least to the third generation or fourth generation, there were people that were out of his background that were being instrumental even as the nation of Israel began to go into its slump and falling away from God. Nehemiah, another one. I think of women like Ruth and Esther. There are even some youth. Yeah. Daniel and his friends, probably in their late teens. You know, you just see their confidence. We love to be around people like that. So we come today in Psalm 71, and if we can have that slide up there, I guess just it's called the Missionary's Confidence, Psalm 71, and then we can go up to the next slide. And as we read this psalm, and I'd like us to read it out loud together here in just a moment, but as you look at this psalm, there's something about it. We don't know who it is. You know, David wrote Psalm 70, Solomon wrote Psalm 72, but we don't know who the writer is. But that's okay, because if we knew who the writer was, we'd say, well, I don't line up with him. But when it's somebody that you don't know, but his story, you know, gets into the Bible, and your lives are significant, you may not think that, but God is going to use us and how we go through life and how we deal with the stresses. So let us read that together out loud. Psalm 71. Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Listen closely to me and save me. Be a rock of refuge for me where I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the power of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I have become an ominous sign to many, But you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full of praise and honor to you all day long. So as I look at this, and as we look at the first couple of verses there, as we think about his prayers and what his circumstances are, we can see that he's wanting to seek refuge. And he's going to mention refuge in verse 1, verse 3. And I think in the sense that we, that first song that we sung today, Come to My Rescue, it was that, you know, he is the God who saves. He does deliver us. And he is saying this. He's concerned that his life not be a disgrace. I believe that he doesn't want to bring any dishonor. He's really concerned about God's reputation and God's character and how that is portrayed out there. And so often in the Old Testament, you'll see hints about that. In also in Paul's writings in Timothy and Titus, he talks about that that our lives and our work and how we live it out, that we do not blaspheme the Word of God. I mean, that is really serious here. So as you look at this, you know, we observe and don't know his name. Your Bible might just have a little heading there that it's God's help in old age. If young people, if your Bible says that, don't tune me out, because he's talking about youth also in this chapter. So his circumstances, he's seeking refuge. He doesn't want to be a disgrace. He's also in a situation where he's pleading for justice. You know, whatever the injustice might be, we don't know what that is, and probably that is good. I'm sure every one of you in this room, you know, has had some injustice done to you, whether, you know, you may have felt like it was in your home, like, Dad, you know, why did you do that to me? I say that because I had to apologize to my kids when they were about second grade, you know, and confess my sin to my kids because I had been unjust on how I'd meted out some discipline. That's never happened to you, but that happened to me. So, you know, I don't know what that might be. As I think about, you know, fortunately, Rachel sends out the information every week. I still get that every week, you know, and to know some of the prayer requests that are going on here, some of your activities. The big emphasis last week was meet you at the pole. I don't know, do we have teens in here that didn't even go to meet the pole, or maybe they're back in the youth, but yeah, back in the back. But, you know, come this next week, there may be some feedback that comes to you, or maybe somebody might make a joke about that. Another real issue that we hear deals with bullying, don't we? We hear that. Somebody asked the other day, you know, they said, well, we read about missionary books, you know, the great missionaries, you know, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, you know, all those people back on the 1800s, but, you know, what about in the 21st century? You know, what are the stories that are being written about by missionaries? Now, this is a book here, and it's written by Brian Hogan. He's a missionary with Youth with a Mission. His story of how God used him and his wife and the death of a child in Mongolia, but to read about the story of the birth of the church in Mongolia since the fall of communism in 1991 is just amazing. But this book's called An A to Z Listing of Near-Death Adventures. I cannot believe that any missionary could have so many close death encounters. You've got to get this book. And he, as I was preparing this message, Bro and I had just started reading it, and he has a book on a G, like J is for jerk, you know, I is for ice, H is for hitching. It's about hitchhiking stories about that, just amazing. G is for gangs, and it deals with bullying and how he dealt with that as a 7th and 8th grader, I believe it was, in Southern California. So I just want you to know that this psalm helps us work through these things that are happening, that come in our lives. So then we go and look at verses 3 and 4. He says, be a rock of refuge for me. You know, first he says, I seek refuge, but now he says, be a rock. This really begins to be the heart of his prayer in this part of Psalms 71. Be a rock of refuge for me, where I can always go, Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. And so you get a little bit further idea of what's happening in his life. And, he's free just to share with God what is happening and what he is doing. The other day I was just really beside myself. I had some notes that I'm going to use for next week and from 3 John. And I couldn't find them, and just praying, and I thought, you know, it's good that I pray, but also I need to be, you know, an instrument of God. I may be, you know, God will actually answer you if I actually get up and start looking around through all the stacks of paper that are there, and he did it. He says he'll be a rock of refuge. You know, the rock has got so many, it's used as a metaphor in so many settings throughout the scriptures. And for those of us that are older, I just found myself singing the song, "A Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide my faith in thee." I think that's how it goes. And partly, you know, for you youth, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 60s, rock and roll, you know, rock, music. You connect on music so often. I've found myself, I'm going to say this now because I may run out of time, but for youth, having our grandkids, our younger grandkids in the car, they want to listen to Air One. Air One is just a little bit further than where I want to go in my music taste. But, you know, I learned some songs, and even yesterday morning I was going to a men's breakfast at our church, and I had Caleb on, and there was a Toby Mac song, and it was actually a Toby Mac song that I could actually understand and hear all the words on it. And I thought, this really goes right along with this message. I feel like I'm really on track from what I'm supposed to be saying today. And then there was another group, I don't even know what the group's name was. It might have been named Refuge, or the song was named Refuge, but I thought, yes, and I'm listening to these words, and I was just really getting pumped, all excited about being here to speak on this. But that opens up conversations with my millennial grandchildren. So, yeah. Psalm 91 was, for many of the early soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, that was the psalm that the chaplains were just entrusting and asking them to think about, you know, that, you know, I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, he's our rock. He's our fortress. Same words that are used there. He says, and I don't quite understand if he says, just give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, part of his, you know, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive, whatever that was, whatever those circumstances. And I'll just say at this point, I think that he hints about, you know, his life from being a youth. There have been those that have input into his life. They've talked about stories, how God, you know, has provided in the past, what he did in the past, demonstrating his power in the past. That's how the stories were to be communicated throughout the Old Testament. And we have the opportunity to share that. And that, as we recite those and as we review those things, those continue to help us to believe that he can do it again. He will do it again. So verse, and if in the actually the Hebrew text, there's actually a break right there between 4 and 5. My Bible doesn't have that, but there's actually a break. It's a good pause for a moment. We really would like to know what is really happening in your life. We want to really be specific, but, you know, we aren't shared that in this portion of Scripture. And that's okay. We really want to know the rest of the story. We want to know just exactly how God is answering prayer, but he is willing to just leave this with the Lord at this point. Don't speed read the rest of the chapter while I'm talking. Unless you're bored, you can do that and find out. But, you know, we don't really see what exactly was happening. Verse 7. He said, I have become an ominous sign to many, but you are my strong refuge. Another translation says that you've become a portent. to many. And I think that what is behind that thought is when our lives, even though we're confronted with the difficulties of life, whether it's financial or we deal with the politics or issues in church, family matters, but when God is in control, when He is truly working in our lives, that somehow our lives stand out to others. And it's that time that I think that we become those people that those on the outside say, what makes them tick? They want to know. That may be what is behind that verse 7. Well, let us move to the next slide there. Verses 9 through 16, and let's read this out loud. Don't discard me in my old age, as my strength fails. Do not abandon me, for my enemies talk about me, and those who spy on me plot together, saying, God has abandoned him. Chase him and catch him, for there is no one to rescue him. God, do not be far from me. My God, hurry to help me. May my adversaries be disgraced and destroyed. May those who seek my harm be covered with disgrace and humiliation. But I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long. Though I cannot sum them up, I will come. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. This becomes the exciting part. And if you read this psalm, you're kind of like getting moving along. And it's moving towards a climax, which we will get here in a few minutes. And so here we have another revealing issue impacting our unknown missionary writer. I call him a missionary because, you know, he's one who wants to herald the truth. And, you know, if you're one who wants to herald the truth, proclaim the gospel, you know, you're a missionary. It's as simple as that. And so as we look at this, and this is where it gets a little difficult for most of us in this room, well, at least probably 50% of us, because it deals with aging. We're getting older. And so this psalm should kind of resonate with us. And he is, he's talking about, he doesn't want to be discarded. He's dealing with strength that fails. I like Dick, I was talking with him this morning, and we used to be bowling partners and so forth from WCF. And he says, well, I'm still standing right. I'm still standing upright. And I was like, that's right. And people say, well, how are you doing, Paul? And I said, well, you know, I still can smell, I can still taste, I can feel, I can touch, I can hear without, well, I got glasses to read, but, you know, I'm doing okay, you know, for this age, and I hope you are too. And we continue on. So, but he realizes that his strength is failing. And my wife and I and John and Debbie and the kids, we've just finished a remodeling project on a house out in Damascus. And let me tell you, those first days of picking those 50-pound bags of cement and concrete and mix and all that, they were pretty heavy. And as we were finishing up the last work here a couple weeks ago, I just picked up that first bag, you know, and I thought, man, I couldn't do that like that, you know, when I started out back in March. So work's a good thing, even as you get older. Yes. And another thing that happens, sadly, I think at times for us, as you get older, you begin maybe to imagine things. He is saying, my enemies are talking about me. You know, we do know that was really true about David. There are those who are spying on me. They're plotting together. You know, people, you know, and I think probably some of you have experienced that maybe in your employment. You know, you get in that mid-50 range, and you've got this young whippersnappers coming up, and they've got all the zeal and knowledge, and, you know, they begin to, you know, undermine what you have done, what you've brought to the company or to your own business. Sometimes, sadly, in the church, things are said that impact us. And so, again, we don't know what the details are, But these are things that begin to impact us. We begin to dwell upon them. And too often people begin maybe to step aside from the church, the place that they should find encouragement and strength. How I'm thankful for the men's ministries that continue on here under Michael and Langless and Mike Detzel, whoever, all you're doing. Appreciate, miss that so much by not being out here. So then we see his prayer, verses 12 and 13. God, do not be far from me. My God, hurry to help me. May my adversaries be disgraced and confounded. May those who seek my harm be covered with disgrace. So he was originally concerned about his own disgrace, but now he would like to see that, you know, turned on those who are just, you know, bringing these false accusations, maybe those who are gossiping about him. He doesn't seem to be presumptuous about, you know, asking God, hurry, I'm in a situation here. But he's able to just make his request known and to leave it there. The prayer of two missionaries, John Patton was one. He was a missionary in New Hebrides back in the 1800s to an island where it was nothing but headhunters. And then a story just came to me last week from one of our Cadence missionaries of a medical doctor in Africa. But both stories talk about where these missionaries, you know, are aware of possible threats, and as the gospel began to be made known to them, people would come up to them and said, you know, when we were ready to kill you, when we were ready to, you know, take off your head, eat you, that we were afraid. There were warriors around your house. There were warriors around you. And in the story of the one in Africa, a story, when the missionary came back to his church in Michigan, he was sharing the story, and one man stood up, and he said, exactly what day was that? What time of the day? And you said there was 24 warriors around there. And he says, we were praying right that time. And he said, I want all those men that were praying, stand up, 24 of them. Never estimate, you know, prayer and how it's impacting. Even our dear friends that are in Romania today, those who serve, you know, from this church in China, in India, and other places. God is able to do this. We come really to the heart of this whole thing, the whole message here. We talked about confidence, verse 5. He said, you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from youth. But verse 14 really resonates with his heart to see God's name made known. And again, we don't know what the details, we don't know how things are intervening, but he says, I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up. You know, someone has said, I think, that there's at least 31 things that take place at the point that Jesus was dying in our place and making salvation possible, the interaction that took place between him and God, the things then that would make it possible for us to be reconciled to him. No wonder the Apostle Paul says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Great reminder, and I pray that that you are effective in communicating that same gospel, and share as you can those stories that are a response to answers to prayer. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. And I think the English Standard Version says that I will remind them of your righteousness. So if we can have verses 17 to 24 projected, and let's just read that together. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Even when I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches heaven. God, you have done great things. God, who is like you? You caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. You will bring me up again, even from the depths of the earth. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Therefore, I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness. My God, I will sing with you with a lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, because you have redeemed me. Therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long, for those who seek my harm will be disgraced and confounded. So, as you think back to this, that first eight verses, you're dealing with external circumstances. I think the next set of verses deal with those things that are more internal. And then as we come to this, we see his commitment, most of all, to that next generation, that he will remind them, he will tell those stories. However, you know, they used a lot of memory tools. The rocks, you know, they stood for different things. And again, I've shared this. It continues to be on my heart that don't lay back. Well, I got my kids through high school or got them in college. Now they're married. You know, it's okay. We find ourselves in more ministry now with our grandkids. Well, and our kids, but also our grandkids. Parenting is never finished. And continue to look for those ways to teach. I had a very painful experience here about 6 weeks ago. I worked for Boeing Aircraft. I was a quality control inspector. I was right at the top of my class. I enjoyed the work. And so I kind of became a little more of a perfectionist. I don't like to say that. I'm a controller, and I don't like to say that. Somehow I have a son who's kind of the same way. Those of you that know John, he likes to see things done right. And guess what? His 17-year-old son is the same way. And so I was really pleased on, you know, some of the finer details that I was finishing up on something, and I thought, you know, he's not going to. He comes in, and it's just like he walked right to that point, and he saw that, thought, you know, this isn't really right. I was just about put out with my grandson. I didn't raise my voice, but I walked off, and I had to go and just, you know, release this to the Lord, and God said, okay, this is one of those teaching moments. You have a chance to redeem yourself with your grandson. So I came back in, and we took a little break, and we just sat down in the one room, and I just said, you're a chip off the old block, John, or Jason. But I had to confess. I'd gotten upset, but I was just so thankful that, you know, here he is, 17 years old, but, you know, he's wanting to be a diligent person about his work that is being done as to the Lord. And I'm so thankful I didn't miss that teaching opportunity, you know, to strengthen that relationship with this grandson. So as you think about who is that next generation, for many in this room, you know, Burl and I are actually the end of the quiet generation, believe it or not, we are. And the next generation are the baby boomers, and a lot of you in here are baby boomers. But your next generation were the Gen Xers, and you thought, what are we going to do with this group of people? And then the Gen Xers, you know, your next generation are the millennials. And I'm not sure, I think they've got a name for the next group coming up, but I don't know what they are. But, pardon?
Generation Z.
Z, okay. Yeah, I think the millennials were Y, you know, they call them Y or millennials, yeah, so Z, okay. I don't know where we go after Z, to heaven. But anyhow, I just want you to know that may you have a renewed commitment to pass the faith along to that next generation. And then finally, the songs today, the service, I hope, has been an inspiration to just give us the confidence to finish the race. And beloved Carolyn Coop, I don't think she's here, but I remember when we had the memorial service in this room, and Jim Maru just did such a wonderful job of telling the story of Grandma Bowles. And in the sharing time, Carolyn Coop was sitting over here, and she just stood up and looked around to, you know, our generation, but just saying, you know, if Grandma Bowles at 99 years and 5 months, you know, could be, you know, just so active and doing things, you know, then what's wrong with the rest of us? Let's get with it. And at a memorial service a couple weeks ago at Good Shepherd Community Church, the pastor was officiating a service for one of our beloved missionary widows who had just passed away. And he looked at the congregation, most of us are older, and just said, I want you to know, like Connie finished the race well. You know, most of us may be on that last lap, but, you know, whatever it takes, you know, reach that goal line. Reach for the prize. You know, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And he says, I like these statements, because of his relationship with the Lord from a youth through older age, he says, but you will, I will, verse 22, I will praise you, I will sing to you with a harp, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you because you have redeemed me. Therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long. For those who seek my heart will be disgraced and confounded. So the takeaway today, you know, is there an external circumstance resulting in fear and anxiety for you? Remind yourself of promises like 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. And do not be afraid, you know, what God might do to me. I don't know what your internal circumstance might be today. But share that. Can you share that with God and leave it with him? And because of what he's done, how he's shown his faithfulness to you? And then who in the realm of your life, your family, your church, or the next generation needs to hear your story of the gospel? Stories of God's powerful acts. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you've used somebody unknown to us, only known to you, to be used as part of the inspired word of God. May this body of believers at Warren Community Fellowship continue to be provide a setting here in its various ministries, both inside the church as well as outside, be a light and a hope for this community that deals with so many various issues. May we walk in confidence of your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is there in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, there on the mountaintop, there in the everyday and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh, such grace. From the creation to the cross, from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. Is there on the wedding day, there in the weeping by the grace side, there in the very breath we breathe, your great grace. The same for the rich and poor, the same for the saint and for the sinner, enough for this whole wide world, your great grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity. Your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. There in the darkest night of the soul. There in the sweetest songs of victory. Your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. Your great grace, oh such grace. Your great grace, oh such grace. Same for the rich and
gracious Heavenly Father, lead us out this week, Father. Help us to proclaim your glory and praise you all week long until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us in the study of God's Word. Please join us at Warren Community Fellowship for worship each Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m. or 11 a.m. We're located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between St. Helens and Scappoose. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387.